Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're back after a long weekend of nothing but local original music for your Memorial Day weekend. And a long weekend of, well, the Tigers actually doing things right, which, well, we'll get to that plenty here in due time.
And at some point tonight, I got to talk about that portal that's in New York City that links up to Dublin, Ireland.
Okay, I haven't heard anything about this, so you're going to have to fill me on that here in a little bit.
Okay. The subject is basically, we can't have nice things.
Well, of course we can't have nice things. I could have told you that. Yeah. We can't even have the mediocre things, like, for example, Detroit Tigers baseball. They actually won a series over the weekend.
Yes, they did, against Toronto.
No one saw it because in most of southeastern Michigan, Comcast doesn't carry Bally Sports right now. And on Sunday, the game was relegated to, like, Roku or something.
Oh, boy.
And then, weirder yet, there was no game on Memorial Day, which is just so weird to me. Like, I can't remember at any point in my life the Tigers not playing on Memorial Day.
Right.
It seems kind of weird. Like, it's basically official kickoff of summer. Like, it may not be the official first day of summer, but everyone knows it's the first day of summer.
Yes.
And your baseball team's nowhere to be found. Like, what is MLB even doing with the scheduling? I don't understand this. Because you kind of look at it, and it seems like this should be the day that you capitalize on most of all.
Right.
Because it is the unofficial start of summer. Like, how can you not have all of the games going today? And instead, you've only got really a handful of things. You've got you got 11 games going today. So you got a lot of teams that are sitting out that I feel like normally wouldn't be. Like, this is one of those days where I always seem to remember, at least as a kid, like, everyone plays. Like, you're in this league, you're playing on Memorial Day. Like, you're going to have your team to watch, whether in the afternoon or late in the evening or whatever.
Right.
It's just kind of, that's kind of a letdown, man. Like, I was kind of bummed out by that. I can't lie to you.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's a tradition. But I mean, let's face it. Now you can enjoy your Memorial Day. You don't have to worry. You don't have to spend it cursing out the TV.
Well, I'm spending it here on the radio, basically cursing out my team. So what's the difference? It doesn't feel like summer without it. Like, as much as I rant and rave about this ball club and the state of things, and, oh, let me tell you, we've got a lot of things to discuss with that later.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like summer if I don't have, you know, the game on the radio while I'm sitting out on the deck or whatever, man. It just seems weird that this would be the day they would choose to not play at all.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there's a lot of days they choose not to play.
Well, yeah, most of them, quite frankly.
Yesterday was a hit fest.
That it was. And we'll get to that in a moment. I'm curious, though, I'm honestly wondering, especially right now with it being off of cable for much of the area, like, if anyone actually went to the trouble of trying to find them on Roku on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.
I didn't know anything about it. I've got Spectrum, so I still have them. So, yeah.
Well, you didn't. Well, not that game. Because this one was an exclusive to
Roku.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a neat channel. There's so much out there right now. I mean, just free TV. There's Roku. There's Pluto. I love that kind of stuff. You can get live TV anywhere, pretty much, anymore. There's so many options.
I will say the nice thing about this, when I heard that deal get announced in the first place, was that, well, at least it's a free service. It's not like you're having to pay an additional monthly subscription fee to something. Of course, people came back, well, we got to buy a Roku stick. I mean, if you have an Android device, I feel like you can get Roku without having the actual, without needing to buy a Roku stick, though.
Right. Yeah. This is true, because the Roku channel, you can get that on some other places, because I know that Weird Al movie that came out was specifically on Roku.
Yeah.
And my parents were able to watch it, and they don't have a Roku
device.
Yeah, right.
And that's kind of thing. I realize we as sports fans are conditioned, and I feel like just maybe it's this country in general, where we're conditioned to be like, I'm not paying any additional anything for anything, and I'm with you for the most part on that. In this case, you don't really have to get access to it. So I feel right. a little less sympathy than I do when, say, they start throwing a bunch of games on Peacock or Apple TV Plus, because I have no reason to buy your service except for a handful of throwaway Big Ten football games, and that's literally it, because I don't care about, like, what's their other big stuff? WWE and Premier League Soccer. Two things I couldn't possibly care any less about. Nope. Like, if that's the only other thing you got to sell me other than, one baseball game a week, you ain't getting my money. Sorry. And Apple TV Plus, I couldn't tell you what they have. I mean, again, apparently soccer. Like, I'm supposed to care about that, but...
Yeah, I don't care about soccer. Most of the United States does not care about soccer.
But you're not really offering me a whole lot to justify adding an additional charge on top of paying for every other service on Earth. Like, I already pay for Prime. Now, granted, I pay for Prime because who doesn't love two-day shipping
right.
for free? But that when they moved Thursday Night Football to that, okay, I'm fine with this because I personally already have this service and it has value outside of just, a TV show here or there. I at least have that going for me with that. But then when we started talking about Apple TV Plus and Peacock and all these other ones, and I feel like this is absolutely the way it's the way that things are moving. No doubt about it, but I feel like you are slowly reaching the point of people just being kind of sick and tired of being asked to shell out for yet another service on top of all the ones that they already pay for.
Yep.
That's getting old. I feel like it's getting old for a lot of people, most people. I know I'm not doing it. Like, I pay for my Amazon Prime. I get my ESPN Plus and, Ray has Hulu. I'm not willing to spend the additional money. Like, it's because it's not that, you can't afford $5. It's another $5.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I have so many streaming services. And they don't make it easy to cancel either. I cannot figure out how to cancel one of them, the Reels channel. It was like $2.99 a month. I cannot figure out how to cancel this thing.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't. That's the reason I haven't. Well, we'll just buy it for the season or whatever and then cancel. Like, if they make it that hard to cancel, like, no, I don't want to continue to give them my money afterwards.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely not. That will not be happening, I'm afraid. We do have a lot to get to, mostly Tigers related. We'll touch on this weekend and kind of a question I have about it. We'll do that next, and then I have a trade proposal that I thought was absolutely stupid that I feel like we're also going to have to discuss. Big show, a lot of stuff to get to today. Stick around. It's Happy Hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. The Tigers finally looked like an actual professional baseball team over the weekend. I was kind of surprised. Was not expecting this.
Yeah, against the Blue Jays.
After they got blown out by Kansas City, and then they lost their last game to Arizona, and they got blown out the first game of this series, 9-1, all of a sudden, then they come back and take the last three games of the series, including what ended up being just an absolute shootout offensively on Sunday, 14-11.
Yeah.
I didn't think this team was capable of scoring 14 runs in a week, much less in one game. But here we are, most of it driven by one Matt Vierling, who ended up with a couple home runs on the day. Did a significant amount of that damage. Even Colt Keith getting on the action, getting his first home run over the weekend. Spencer Torkelson had a homer on Sunday, so did Carson Kelly. It was just really good all the way around to see. But here I go again, being the pessimist that the show kind of expects me to be at this point.
Well, we all know what's going to happen next game, tomorrow against the Pirates, is the bats will go silent again.
I fear that that's a very entirely real possibility.
I mean, Pirates over in the NL.
They're not good.
They're the same boat we are, quite frankly.
Pretty much exactly the same boat we are.
So you're looking at a 2-1 game. Maybe Tigers might even get shut out. I don't know. Maybe we're being too pessimistic.
I just don't want people, I guess, getting fooled by this series against the worst team in the American League East, thinking, oh, well, all is right with the world. We fixed everything. Oh, this team's going to be fine. We don't need to go and make any moves in the lineup after all. This is fine.
No. I mean, climb the standings first. Then
get above 500 first. Yeah.
Then make those statements.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, I would like to at least see this team get above 500, do this for an extended period. You're 10 games back in the Central, a division that was expected by and large to be a clown car for, you know, by just about everybody in baseball. You're fourth in the division, you're 10 games back. I need to at least see you get a fully above, not at above 500 before I'm even willing to concede the thought that maybe there was some part of this that was actually for real.
Yeah.
As bad as it sounds, I just cannot find myself able to fully buy in. And honestly, I don't think this team's going to give me a reason to buy in fully here. As much as I would like to not see my season just over by the end of the month, like I don't think they're going to come back. But I need more than three games against a not-so-great team. I also need to get rid of these ugly-looking City Connect jerseys. I'm sorry. These are not good.
Yeah, I think that looks terrible. I mean, when you have an iconic logo like the old English D, I mean, you really don't mess with it. I mean, that just looks bad.
Yeah, it looks like a minor league team. Like it looks like a like a low A minor league team.
Yeah, looks like a beer league. Like it should say Motor City. It should be, you know, someone's construction site.
Exactly. Like it looks like it should be a beer league softball team, and that I feel like is not fitting of a franchise with the history that Detroit has.
Yep.
But they've won three games in the thing, so it looks like this is going to stay for good, or at least in the for the near future. They're going to be wearing them Tuesday night for whatever it might be worth.
They're trying to sell them. It's a Chris Illich sales move. That's all that is.
Yeah, like I don't think anyone actually believes that the jerseys are making them win or lose.
Pistons went through this.
Although we talked about that with the wings and the patch on their jersey.
Oh. God. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of, because it kind of fits in the same category, although a little different because they ended up losing as soon as they put those on.
Oh, it was, I mean, athletes in general, more so with hockey players, they're superstitious. I mean, that's just the way they are. And you change their jerseys like that. Well, maybe, I don't know. We saw what happened against the Blue Jays yesterday. Maybe keep the jerseys. I mean, don't keep the jerseys. All right. Didn't the Pistons try that? Like a Motor City jersey?
Oh, yeah. There was the 313 jersey, which I think is one of their alternates. Like they all get these like really just minor league amateur looking jerseys from time to time. I don't know why. It is like these alternates, like you already had perfection. Why do we need to change it?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we are pretty lucky. If you think about it, their major four sports is the logos are iconic. Pistons tried to move away from that with that horse's head in the 90s.
When everyone went teal.
Everybody went teal.
I swear, like of like all the teams in the NBA, I would lay money down that about half of them, maybe even two-thirds of them, started to incorporate teal into their uniform
Charlotte
for reasons
Hornets,
I still understand.
Spurs.
Everyone owned that Charlotte Hornets starter jacket.
They did.
I swear.
I don't know why. It's almost like it was issued to you.
I feel like it was. If you were of a certain age in the 90s.
It showed up with a phone book.
It did. I'm convinced that's what happened because there weren't that many people that liked the Charlotte Hornets or the color teal, I didn't think. But here we are.
Same thing with the San Jose Sharks. They wanted that teal. I remember Nike, who was doing their jerseys, sent them a letter. Please, the teal is just too difficult. Change your colors. They're like, nope, we want teal.
It did seem like that was a thing for too long.
I mean, the Pistons logo, the Tigers English D, the Lions, the Wings winged wheel. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. I'm sure if we really sat down and thought about it, there's probably a city out there that, you know, completely whiffs on all their logos.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'd be hard-pressed to think of it right now, but I guarantee you that they're out there. At least that don't have all the way around. I mean, the Honolulu Blue, I mean, granted, what it represented for six decades wasn't great.
Yeah.
The old English D, certainly. The winged wheel, like, There's no improving on any of these. Don't even bother with an alternate jersey because you're not going to beat this one.
No, no, not at all. And especially, Motor City, sure, but it takes away a lot of the identity of the Detroit Tigers. And it's just, I don't know, not a fan.
Not really big on it either.
Bring back the 84 unis with the lion's head. How you doing? The Tiger's head. Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Those are all right. I don't mind as a I personally, even though we were terrible in that era, liked the 90s one with the actual Tiger coming out of the old English D. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I like those, even if the team was just garbage during that whole frame.
That was cool. That was cool.
I always did kind of like those. I have to admit I have a soft spot for those. But that's about it. Like, some of those other ones, like some of the ones before that one where the cat looks like it just, like, the tiger looks like it just took like an electrical lightning strike to the face.
Oh, yeah, like the 1930s or 40s.
Or it looks like someone's like 5-year old, you know, like, guys, niece was drawing the thing.
Yeah, guys, cut me some slack. My niece drew this and she really like us to, okay. All right, for the first 10 years, and then we're changing it.
And then we're getting rid of this as soon as we can.
Yes. Because, yeah, that tiger looks like it's looking down the barrel of a shotgun.
It kind of does. Like, so not all of those were great, admittedly.
No, but the current logo, I mean, well, the tiger, yeah, but the old English D, is iconic.
Yeah, there's no getting around that. And iconic in the actual sense of the term iconic, and not the way that apparently every Gen Zer now uses that term to describe literal anything.
Something they like. It's so iconic.
Like, you don't even know what iconic is.
No. Now, see, Magnum P.I. wore the old English D. Yes, he did.
Yeah. It doesn't get more iconic than that.
That's right. Tom Selleck.
You know, it's really amazing, like, how quickly, like, iconic is now overused in much the same way that, say, my generation overused epic.
Epic. I remember that. Yeah.
It's really come quite a way, hasn't it?
we overused, where's our parents? Those Gen Xers.
Well, yeah.
They were here a minute ago.
That's it. Took a weird turn. Dad just went to the. Dad said he was just going to get milk from the corner store.
Yeah, that was 3 days ago. No,
we're really just pulling up some
regressed childhood memories,
right? Repressed childhood memories with Adam Harahawk.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember falling off the slide when I was 7. Back after this. I remember sticking my tongue to the metal part of a sled and getting it stuck, and then my friend decided to shove me down the snow hill. Back after this. I was like, you.
Sure, there's someone we probably need to apologize to somewhere in all this,
lot,
but
a whole lot, yeah.
I'm not really sure where. I feel like start the listeners at first and foremost, honestly.
Yeah, sorry, listeners.
But back to the Tigers briefly. Because that was, you know, what we started talking about before ADHD theater hit. I don't want to get, yeah, was it nice to see you take 3 out of 4 from Toronto? Absolutely.
Yes.
Was it nice to actually see bats show up? Oh, sure. No doubt about that. But I also don't want to get my hopes up because I feel like it's a mirage.
Yep.
Like, I feel like it's a mirage because thus far, the results we've gotten from this team would suggest that that's exactly what this is. Like, you went off on Toronto's pitching this weekend. It was quite terrible. Like, everyone they put out there, no one could get outs on Sunday to save their lives. But, you know, to be fair, well, neither could you. Like, the pitching on the Tigers' side wasn't exactly great either. Casey Mize, you know, he only gave up 3 runs. But he only made it 4 2/3, 4 1/3 innings. Like, there was a lot more, and your bullpen didn't really help things at all. Foley ended up blowing the save. He gave up 3 runs, and then Mason Englert comes back and wins it for you after he has not had the greatest start to his season here. But while I'll admit it's nice to see finally the hitting pull through when the pitching flounders, it'd be nice to see both actually do it on even a more often than they're doing now basis. Because it seemed like the pitching hasn't been able to get any help from anybody across this season. Like, every time Reese Olson goes out there, he basically knows that he's going to have to pitch a complete game shutout to have any chance of the Tigers winning a game. He finally got one on Saturday, but even then, Tigers only got him two runs of support in that game. So you still didn't really feel like you could go out there with any kind of confidence. They did finally give him the win, though. Credit to them for allowing that to happen. But it still has me a bit concerned that will they be able to do this if the pitching suffers for a prolonged stretch or, like, literally more than a game at a time? I really, truly worry about that. We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Just because we're coming off a holiday weekend does not mean that we don't still have time to judge people. So let's go ahead and take a break from being depressed about the Tigers. Yeah, about a team that won three of their four games over the weekend.
Right.
And dive into a fun installment of Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice. Okay. Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. We intercept. And we, I think, give better advice than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living.
I certainly think so.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Dear somebody who cares, my son Jeremiah has been dating Annabelle for over a year. Annabelle has almost never brought me or my husband a card or gift for our birthdays or Christmas. She's never offered to help clean up after a meal, even when my son is helping. I had surgery and she never asked how it went or how I was feeling. My biggest concern is her lack of motivation. Annabelle's type of work doesn't offer medical insurance or benefits. I feel like she's pushing to get married because next year she will no longer be on her parents' insurance. I think she wants to marry him to be taken care of and quit her job. We give Annabelle gifts, have hosted her family, have supported her at her place of business, and also always try to make her feel welcome. My son sat us down and asked if we liked Annabelle because he was thinking of proposing in the next year. I don't want to do anything to jeopardize my relationship with him, so I didn't answer his question directly. Instead, I asked him lots of questions in hopes that he would think about her qualities to see if she was truly the person that he wanted to spend the rest of his life with. What else can I do?
That's about it. I mean, you're right to think about Annabelle in this way. How long have they been dating?
I don't think it says. Long enough, apparently. Long enough that he's thinking about getting married to her.
And she's roughly 25. So, yeah.
They've been dating for over a year.
Over a year. So, I mean, in this day and age, I think that's not enough time. So, hopefully he thinks about it, or at least they plan on having like a long engagement or something like that. But because it sounds like she still has a lot of growing up to do. All the red flags are there. She doesn't help out. Not that she should feel the need to help out his parents, but at the same time, sounds like she's not very motivated. Sounds like she's kind of a load, and she's looking out for her son. Her son should have these red flags in his mind, too, but he's probably in his early 20s, mid-20s, and he's, thinking, oh, she can change, or she's just fine. I have no problem doing all the work and raising, basically raising her as a kid, I have no problem doing that.
Maybe he doesn't have that problem, though. Maybe she does do things at home. Maybe she does actually cook and clean. Like, we don't know what she does at their house. We know that she's working kind of a dead-end job, mm-hmm. and will probably end up on his insurance at some point. That's all we really know. And as far as the gift-buying thing, I find this kind of weird because at least in our relationship, in the relationship that I'm currently in, She buys the gifts for her folks and we put both our names on them. I buy the gifts for my folks and put our names on them. Yep. Like that's traditionally how that works, at least for us. And yeah. I guess I assume that most couples did it that way.
It's just easy. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, we only have the information given to us. So I don't know if we can assume that, behind closed doors or whenever they're together that she helps out, and or if they were to move in together and get married, that she would take on half of all the responsibilities. I mean, these are all just speculations, both on either side. At face value, it sounds like she is a load.
Sounds like the mother's kind of a load too, though.
She may be. Mothers are very protective of their sons. It's just the way it is. So maybe she's being overly critical of her.
I think so.
As far as her question, what else should I do? I think that's it. You've done. I mean, as I would lay it out for your son and say, I think she is lazy. I think she's going to be a leech on you.
I don't feel like any of that's fair, though. I mean, she may not be working a job that has insurance, but she's working. It doesn't sound like she has any intention. Like, she's assuming, oh, she's going to quit her job as soon as she sinks her claws into my son. But what basis do we have for that? I don't think we do.
It just strikes a little too close to home for me, because I was engaged to somebody like that, and then we broke it off, and she got messed up, hooked up with this guy, and she kept saying, I can't wait to get on his insurance. As soon as they got married, she got on his insurance. She was sick and couldn't go to work anymore.
Okay, so you had it happen to you then?
Yeah, I have a little bit of experience in that.
To be fair, I also have. I've never worked jobs that have things like insurance. I've worked in in food service and radio, and benefits are not things that exist
in a lot
of situations in those places. So like, I didn't quit my job the second I got married and got on her insurance, because she always had decent insurance from her work.
Yeah, but you're also not the type to want to sit around and. You can't sit down. You always have to be doing something. You're like a little chihuahua. You're not that type. But some of these people, they are. And I seem to like...
attract them, apparently. Or have attracted them in the past.
Yeah, luckily Dorothy's completely 180 from that.
Let me absolutely make sure I clarify because I don't need her showing up and killing both of us today.
Yeah, we're not too far from the place. She might... Wow, have you always had that hatchet through the front door?
That's a new feature.
Wow. Come in. So, I don't know. I also dated this one person. She's like, I don't care how many jobs you have to do. I'm going to be a housewife. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go out and get cigarettes. And she's like, you don't smoke. I'm like, exactly. Bye-bye. See, he should be thinking about these things. And I think... if she's really looking for advice, I would maybe sit him down and don't just be coy about it with some random, quote unquote, random questions. Say, hey, listen, I think you're going to be sitting there. Everything is great now. The newness of the relationship and you're in love, blah, blah, blah. A lot of that stuff fades once you have to worry about, paying the rent and or mortgage, paying this and paying that. And she's just, coloring in a book or something like that. Doing a jigsaw puzzle, watching soaps while you're busting your hump.
I don't think that's absolutely the last thing you should go and do, is go and start making, delivering these value judgments about this woman that you barely know. No, I don't think that's the right thing to do. Like, you, in asking the questions that you did to him when he asked you about that, you've done everything that you could and probably should have done. And your further involvement in this should be nothing unless you actively see something that's like a major red flag. And I'm not talking about, oh my God, she didn't get anything for me for my birthday. Like, I'm talking like actual, like if you notice her being abusive to him or saying things along the lines of, wanting to just stay at home and be a housewife. Like, you're implying a lot of things that aren't really there because she didn't ask you your surgery to remove a hangnail went.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It could have been something more serious than that, but this seems like the kind of person that, like, I need to be the center of attention at all times.
It could very well be.
I had a wisdom tooth pulled out or something, and she just expects everyone to fawn over her for the next, 6 months after this.
Yeah. It may be one of those things where, she really takes that, you didn't lose a son, you gained a daughter-in-law. And now she feels like this Annabelle is one of her kids and should dote over her like all of her kids. So, I mean, that could very well be too.
That could be. I tend to think from what the letter writer is telling me, I don't necessarily, I think she is perhaps overreacting like significantly to this.
Yeah.
I don't think she's in the right here. I mean, to assume the other person's motivations, I can't really assume that, but it seems like she's doing a lot of assuming.
Yeah.
So let's get into another one of these real quick, shall we?
Sure.
Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, I'm a very active older woman. I hate being idle. My mostly amazing husband doesn't mind idle time. This would be okay, except he resents my constant coming and going. After retiring from a stressful corporate job, I have two part-time jobs, one that takes about 8 hours during the week and the other 4 hours on the weekend. I also enjoy fitness, riding horses, playing with our grandson, and socializing during the day. I let my husband know years ago that I would hardly be home when I retired. Rarely do I go out with friends in the evening as we are both happy at home and cooking and enjoying TV. My husband doesn't understand my daytime activities and doesn't share my interest. We fought about this and he gets very upset. I could never be happy at home every day, but that's what makes him happy. I love him and don't want to cause him hurt, but after 24 years together, I'm wondering if we're incompatible. He won't go to couples counseling, and I'm not sure what, if anything else, I should do. Your thoughts?
You don't have to do anything. You told him you laid all the cards on the table. You said exactly what you were doing. And if he's got a problem with it, he's going to have to learn to live with it, try to do some of these things with you. Has he offered any kind of compromise or, I don't know. I mean, you're together every night. What's he want?
I don't know. I honestly don't.
Does this guy need constant attention?
Does he need you to sit there and watch him read a book at night?
Right. Or is he one of those guys like, I had to get up and make my own lunch?
Oh, well, he'll get over that then.
Yeah.
Or he won't. You'll just leave him.
Don't worry about counseling. Don't worry about it. Just live your life. Yeah. He might get cranky, but that's on him. You told him exactly what kind of person you are, and you're staying true to that.
Ultimately, you do what you want to do. What ultimately makes you happy, and if he has a problem with it, then there's a door.
There you go, slay queen, slay.
Words I never thought I'd hear out of you, like ever in my life. That might have to be a drop, but. No, I don't think that you owe it to him to change your entire life around because he somehow expected, despite you telling him otherwise, yep, that you were just going to sit at home and do nothing once you retired. And honestly, would you really want that? Would he really want that? Like, there's nothing worse than being, and this is why, again, from personal experience, it works out better when you have separate interests from someone and don't spend your entire waking hours tethered to them.
It really does.
You'll drive each other crazy doing that.
Oh, yeah. There's nobody that... If I had an identical twin, I wouldn't want to spend every waking moment with the person.
I wouldn't want to spend any time with myself, but that's you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine just being just tied to the hip to somebody all day and not having... Like, what do we have to talk about if we don't ever go out and do things apart from each other? Like, at some point... So I don't see it as being an issue, I guess, because I'm the person that would be out, gallivanting about going wherever, doing things, and also because I know I'm never going to be able to retire. So there is not going to be that. Like, I'll still be working even if I do eventually officially retire or whatever. So I kind of get where this person's coming from. And, I mean, the best I could offer to you is maybe... I don't know. What does he like? Does this man have any interests at all? Any hobbies whatsoever? Maybe you two tried going and doing something that he enjoys doing. Find something. There has to be something.
He probably likes to sit home and watch World War II documentaries.
I know how that goes. I mean, maybe in theory he enjoys, golf or something. Maybe, pick up the clubs that have been sitting in his garage for 20 years that he hasn't touched and try and convince him to go out and do that. This is something you at some point thought was actually an enjoyable thing to do. Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
Like that's the best compromise I can really offer. Other than that, you just go out there and live your life, and, he's got a problem with it. He knows how to, presumably.
He's a big boy.
He'll figure it out. I don't know, figure out how to, like, he clearly may needs to go hang out with, you know, other people. Like, maybe he should, you know, through your people, if there's any, like, guys of a similar age, you know, make an effort to introduce him.
Right.
Help, you know, make some friends so he's not just sitting at home being a complete hermit.
Right.
Like, see if there's someone out there in this wide just social net of yours that you think might get along with him.
Well, I mean, why don't you introduce him to edibles?
I don't know if that'll help the I never leave the house thing.
He won't leave the house, but he'll just be cool about it.
I mean, that's fair.
He may watch more Beavis and Butthead than you were expecting, but, you know, yeah, teach him about edibles, and, you know, pretty soon he'll be like, whoa, you're back already? I've been gone for 8 hours. Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I mean, to be fair, I never have met an angry pothead.
Not too many, until they're out of pot. Then they just get, dude.
And then they're still, it's not really that angry even at that point.
Or you just treat him like any kind of dog that has separation anxiety. You get a crate. You put him in the crate.
Well, presumably he's house-trained.
Oh, no, he's house-trained, but, you know, you just crate train him, put him in there, and then, you know, let him out when you get home. He'll be more happy to see you. Guarantee.
I guess. But
he'll run around the yard and everything else. It'll be great. Rub his belly.
Yeah, that's clearly what you really need. That's obviously what needs to happen here. Good Lord, where do you come up with some of this stuff, man? No, best thing I
train the husband.
Yeah. No, best thing I say is, you know, try to meet him on his level and, you know, find something that he enjoys doing. If he's not going to go to therapy, clearly, so otherwise you're just going to have to let him be and just go on your very busy social calendar, I suppose.
There you go.
Not much else you can do there. Or I guess you could take Adam's advice and crate train him. Whatever works for you, I suppose. Okay, so I promise this is the last Tigers-related thing we're going to do today. I swear, for real this time and everything. I do not understand really the mindset of some sports fans in this town. And it seems like the people who are arguing, shouting the loudest on Facebook and things of that nature that are these people. But there is something, a particular nostalgia that is set in among the Tiger fan base, and I just kind of want to nip it at the bud now. Because I've seen a couple articles online about it. There was a Tigers fan site that had written the possibility of doing this. There was I believe one of the writers for the Freep had actually talked to the player in question. And all of a sudden, he's expressing interest in at some point coming back here, allegedly. And I just want to cut all of this nonsense off at the knees right now. There is no way in hell that Justin Verlander is ever coming back to Detroit. There's no reason for Justin Verlander to ever come back to Detroit.
It'd be nice.
Can we stop with the, oh, well, what if we traded to get him back here stuff already? Because this is something that doesn't need to happen, that there's really no good reason to do other than the fans with the nostalgic happy feels or whatever. But yeah. Apparently that's all we can sell people on in this town because Lord knows it's not a competitive baseball team.
It'd be nice, but there's no reason for him to come back. He's got his ring in Houston.
He's got two
over there. He's two of them. And he's winning over there. Texas is a better place to live. I mean, if you don't like winter. I mean, if you like snow, then you're kind of screwed when it comes to Texas. But who likes snow? Nobody does.
Not I.
Yeah. So, I mean, would it be nice? Is it a nice little... Are people just fooling themselves? Oh, JV will come back. Yeah, that entire 2012 team will come back, and they'll win it this year. That's right.
I mean, I feel like they absolutely are deluding themselves in the sense that they think that that's a real thing that would ever honestly happen. But not even for that reason. The one thing that the Tigers have had going for them in recent years is their pitching. They've got a ton of it. They've got actual decent pitching prospects even lined up in the minors if someone gets hurt. You've already got Matt Manning waiting in the wings, who has proven to be an entirely capable major league starter. You already have a Cy Young candidate in Tarek Skubal. You got Reese Olson, who's gone out there and done everything you could possibly want him to do, despite the fact that this team refuses to give him any run support whatsoever. You already have a rotation. JV is not a thing you need. And last I checked, JV can't swing a bat worth a damn. I don't know if you're aware of this. He is not a hitter. And even when occasionally you'd still do the interleague thing where you'd go over there and hit, he couldn't.
Nope.
We had a couple guys who could. He was not one of them. You need bats. You need offense. I know this sounds weird saying after a 14-11 victory yesterday in Toronto, but those have been very few and far between, and you still have at least four guys on your lineup that should not be on an MLB team right now and certainly shouldn't be starting for one. That's your problem. It's not your starting rotation. It's not even necessarily your bullpen. How does Justin Verlander being here solve the issues that this team has? It doesn't. On top of that, he's making a decent amount of money. He's making, this year he's on what, he's got 22.5 mil on his deal. He had 43 mil last year.
Wow.
And he's still under contract for next year. At a, I think $17.5 million clip, if I'm reading this correct. Oh, that's because the Mets are still retaining a significant portion of his salary from when they had signed him. Like, he's making...
I forgot that.
He's technically making this season, like, $50 million. And then there's more money next year that he's going to be due. And unless you're going to have Houston eat a significant portion of that contract... I don't see this team taking on that kind of money for what? Just so everyone can have the, hey, remember 2006 when this team wasn't garbage? Happy feels? Like, no. It's bad enough that the only thing you had to sell last year was, well, Miguel Cabrera, we're saying goodbye to him for the entire year, despite the fact that, you know, last year was not a particularly good year for him.
No.
We're trotting out guys for nostalgia and retirement tours because this team won't do the things that are needed to be a contender? No.
Nope.
That's an absolutely ridiculous idea, and I can't believe that anyone with half a brain would actually suggest it. And you're going to give up actual assets to make that happen? I mean, unless somehow Chris Illich is willing to take on the entirety of that contract and get it off their hands, you're going to be parting with actual players that could be part of your future. What sense does that make to improve what is already the strength of this team while still ignoring the fact that you only have maybe once every 2 weeks a competent major league batting order?
Right.
What is the sense in that? I don't get it. Like, why anyone thinks that that's the thing that would happen? Like, oh, what, he's going to go into Cooperstown with a Houston Astros hat instead of a Tigers one? Yeah, that's going to happen. You know why? Because they actually won while he was there. They won two World Series with him. So, yeah, that's going to happen. Yep. There's no way around it. Just, you may as well just set yourself up for that disappointment now. He's going in as an Astro. Yep. It's going to happen. All his best success, and honestly, all his best postseason success, all came with the Stros.
You need to start looking for the next JV through the draft, through the ranks.
And it seems like they're not doing terribly at that if the current rotation is any indication. That's where you need to go, not trying to chase the past. Trying to chase a past that never was, because how many rings did you win while he was here?
Zero.
Yeah. I don't understand that there. I get... from the Tigers' perspective, why they would want to do it, because it's a lot easier than throwing a real competitive team out there. And it would probably be good for ticket sales, because you know people would show up just because it's JV. Doesn't matter how bad the team is. They just want to see him play. And from that standpoint,
sure,
almost why you could see them doing it. But from a baseball perspective, it doesn't make any sense.
We would start out going to the games and tuning in to see JV. But once we realize that he is, you know, 10, 12 years older and maybe not as dynamic as a pitcher as he was before, people would be like, it would tarnish his legacy.
I mean, it kind of would, so, in a way, but keep in mind, JV is still doing about as well as you could possibly want from a guy who is, you know, he's 41. I didn't realize, I knew he was up there, but he's still pitching at a pretty high level for being a 41-year-old. 3.60 ERA from a guy that age is not terrible. Like, he's not, he's never going to be like the pitcher that he was until, I mean, actually in relatively recent history. Like, he was for the longest time nearly like a strikeout and inning guy most years. And in fact, he's about that right now. 35 strikeouts and 40 innings this season. That's not bad.
Wow.
You can't take that away from him.
No.
But you're talking about a team that won't spend money to cut bait on a player who is not even playing at a triple-A level. Right. You think they're going to spend money to bring in JV?
Nope.
Just for these purposes? If they're not going to spend the money to cut Javi Baez, they're not going to spend the money to do this. And for Houston to eat the rest of that money that they would have to, that's going to take a lot of doing. You're going to have to give up real assets that could actually help you in your future and actually help you win titles, which are things that, as good as JV is, he's not going to be the difference between you and a World Series ring right now. Not unless he's learned to hit since he's been away.
Nope, probably hasn't.
Well, now they don't have to, so.
Oh, I remember him was in Pittsburgh scoring a single, and all the Tigers in the dugout, they were giving him the business.
Because it was the first one that he ever had. How long it took that man to actually finally get a hit in the major leagues in interleague play, it literally wasn't until it was 2014. Yep. That was the first after being here almost a decade. So I don't think it's going to be quite the help that, like, there are so many things you need so much more and things that would really be addition by subtraction on this team. This is just a ridiculous, like, pie in the sky thing, but there are people actually writing articles and floating, like, what would it possibly take to get Justin Verlander back in Detroit?
Chloroform, binder twine, a windowless van.
I mean, yes, probably all those things, but also what would it accomplish?
Nothing. It would just be a nostalgia trip, and that is all.
And I don't know about you. Like, I have been fortunate enough in my life to watch some of the best sports teams, you know, all time to come through here. I mean, I'm lucky enough, as are you, to have grown up and watched the greatest hockey team in the history of the sport.
Yes, we did, 2002.
Like, and we've got to see some good times with Detroit. But I guess maybe it's just me that I don't feel the need to continue this living in the past thing.
No.
Okay, great. 06 was fun. 2012 was fun. I went to a lot of those games in 2012. It was a blast. I'm more focused on this team making some new memories, new good times and success.
Right.
Instead of just sitting back and trying to recapture what was.
Right.
That doesn't do us any good. Yeah, we can, you know, pop in the tapes and watch it anytime. We don't need to try and get the band back together for this now. Like,
yep.
You have some actual real pieces in this organization that you can build around now. You've got some really, really good starting pitching. You've got some decent bullpen arms. And, okay, you might have one or two actual serviceable major league hitters. Let's more focus here on getting the current squad you have good enough to eventually contend for something, and I don't know, maybe opening up the purse strings a little bit and acquiring some bats, because this system doesn't seem to be able to produce too many of those, and leave the past, well, in the past. Novel concept, I know. We got to hit a break. We're going to come back. We'll close this thing out next. It is happy hour. Stick around. All right, so I said I wasn't going to talk any more Tigers this afternoon, but there was one other baseball story that I feel like we have to at least make mention of. This is big. This is major stuff, At long last, our national nightmare is over. Angel Hernandez is no longer an umpire in MLB. The news came out late last night that Hernandez, effective immediately, is retiring from the game after nearly three decades of making some of the most ungodly, terrible calls known to man. I guess he's finally had enough. Apparently, MLB had first approached Hernandez about the possibility of retiring earlier this season, according to a baseball source. He hasn't umped a game since May 9th, as the two sides worked out a financial agreement. His lawyer says to The Athletic that he was not forced out, but I feel like MLB is not asking you about retiring and also negotiating to get you out if they really aren't trying to force you out. Especially because it's long been known for a decade or more how bad this man is at his job. How many people have come out and criticized him. Bryce Harper's complained about him. Former Tiger Ian Kinsler has said, was on record as saying he needs to find another job, which then prompted the whole white armband thing from the umps in solidarity of, oh my God, someone said something mean about us and hurt our poor little feelings. And I know, yes, you can chalk that up to, okay, players are just mad at him because of this call or that call or whatever. But even MLB has basically come out and said that he didn't deserve to be promoted to a full-time crew chief position because his decision-making sucks and he's not good at handling conflict, which, well, even Angel Hernandez could see that. You may remember about 5 years ago or so, he had sued claiming, oh, he's being discriminated against. I'm being discriminated against because of his race and all of this. No, you're being discriminated, as it turns out, and MLB basically says much, because you're terrible at your job. What is admittedly kind of funny about this is, like, The Athletic had just dropped this piece on Friday. Oh, he's such a misunderstood guy. He's not really that bad. He's not even that bad of an umpire. Like, literal days before MLB essentially forced him out. It's almost like he knew, like, he and his PR team, his lawyer, and whoever else knew, well, we got to get this out there because we know the second that MLB drops this news, everyone's going to rejoice and everyone's going to have nothing but terrible things to say about me, and deservedly so. So what took him damn near 3 weeks to make that happen? Well, as we've already established, Angel Hernandez is, shall we say, a tad bit litigious and very well could have dragged that process on if he didn't feel he was getting a fair deal. He was going to sue and drag this whole thing on or God forbid, attempt to actually force his way back into umpiring games, which nobody wants. And let's be honest, it's not even the calls. I mean, the calls are often terrible with him, but it's the way that he would double down on the terrible calls and then puff out his chest like he and exert all that authority that he so desperately craved, and often seemed to make it kind of personal with players and coaches and others that he just didn't like. Like, you're supposed to be fair and objective, and instead you're going and being an aggressor, which is the exact opposite of what an umpire is supposed to do. So farewell and Godspeed, Angel Hernandez. I'd say don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, but let's be honest, you probably walked into the wall anyway.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
In the heading of "We just can't have nice things," the portal has been shut down. The portal is an online screen. It's in real time. One is set up in New York City, and one is set up in Dublin, Ireland. And people from Dublin can see people in New York. People can see people in Dublin. It's in real time. So it's like you're looking into a portal, and it's like something straight out of like I can't remember the name.
Stargate.
Thank you so much. And, you know, it started out real nice. People waving at each other. Dublin saying, I heart New York, and we love Dublin. And then pretty soon. But for every wholesome video depicting participants meeting friends or holding up friendly signs, even more depicting bizarre behavior went hugely viral on social media.
Well, so, of course, because you know we can't have nice things. Also, it's New York. You were expecting that to remain that way for any length of time?
Some onlookers appeared to take drugs in front of the camera. Multiple instances of people flashing the portal, including one man who has captured on video lowering his pants.
That's lovely.
An OnlyFans model who lifted her shirt went viral on social media.
Well, that's just nice to send over.
And then it's just like a lot of them just flipping each other off. And then somebody from Dublin started showing pictures of the World Trade Center bombing September 11th.
What?
Are you to the people in New York, is like the New Yorkers are like, yeah, we've seen that happen.
Yeah, we know. We were here. Is this when they start sending back photos of cars being blown up? Like,
they're just like holding up a box of Lucky Charms and punching it.
this is just payback for the Irish car bomb drink. That's what that is.
Some woman was arrested in Dublin for dancing provocatively on the portal. It was shut down on Monday, last Monday. It looks like it is. The portal reopened Sunday after it was temporarily shut down Monday, so it reopened yesterday. The Dublin County City Council vowed to make unspecified changes to the portal upon its closure and said at a time it would, quote, implement some technical solutions. The organizers implemented a proximity-based solution, adding a fence. If crossed, we'll blur the live stream on both sides. What did you think was going to happen?
Right. How did you not expect this exact thing that went down to go down?
Yeah, it started out real nice. Everybody just, you know, showing flowers and waving. And, you know,
quickly turns to middle fingers. And then to other things.
Yeah. They're like, your soccer team. Do you have a soccer team? No, we don't have a soccer team.
We have real sports over here.
Yeah.
Really, we've been attacking soccer a lot today. I feel like we need to apologize to soccer fans.
I guess.
I don't really want to, but I feel like we probably should.
It's okay. Ole, ole, ole. Yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time before that thing gets graffiti tagged.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Shot.
Oh, that's going to happen. I'm amazed that it hasn't yet.
Some Irish kid just looking at it, waving at somebody in New York. Oh, this is fantastic. All halfway around the world. And, wow, look at you. And then somebody busts a cap in the pop, 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 pop.
So the whole the screen's just nothing but like spider web blast. What happened? It's New York. We really should have expected this a lot sooner than it actually happened.
Dublin side, they throw a Molotov cocktail at it.
You could see it.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, we can't have nice things.
Yeah, that's to be expected, though. You knew the second that you put that thing up. And then, really, how are you going to prevent that from being a thing? So, you're putting up a fence around it that's just going to blur out anything, so then what's the point of having it? So you're not actually seeing people in any way anyhow.
Yeah, I guess.
So then why does this exist now?
It won't exist for too long. Or the newness will wear off and be like, oh, that's still a thing?
Huh, I thought they got rid of that a long time ago.
Except for every St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's when everyone will actually remember it in New York.
Like, hey.
Go get all your fair share of just drunken revelers and things.
Yeah, over in New York, Sweet Caroline. In Ireland, bop, bop, bop.
Yeah, you'll probably get plenty of those. I guess there's that.
Yeah, and they're saying, what if somebody meets their soulmate through this video? I mean, that's probably a music video right there, or a rom-com.
That sounds like the most rom-com thing ever.
Where they're just waving at each other, and she's like, flashes her phone number, call me, and then she gets deluged with phone calls.
Well, that backfired on you, didn't it?
Bunch of drunk Irishmen. Hi, Lacey. How you doing? I got your phone number. She's like, oh, this is not going to work out. Coming this fall.
There's a movie to be made there, and I foresee that going about as well as you sold it right there.
When Seamus met Sally.
On that note, we got to get out of here. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions.
Woohoo!
All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.